Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of The Dive here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. My name is Jason Shuffletowski, and I will be your host for this episode. This is the first in what I hope to be a long series of podcasts that will take a look at women's professional wrestling on the independent scene. The goal is to speak with 50 independent women on the independent scene in all 50 states. So I thought, being from North Dakota, we would start in North Dakota, and my guest in this episode of the podcast will be Kara Noya. Kara was one of the women to watch out for in 2019 in one of the articles I posted back in October, and after I posted that article, I did receive a lot of messages and questions on how we could find out more information about Kara, where we could see some of her matches, where we could see where she would be wrestling on future dates. So I thought it would be perfect to start out with Kara. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we have a very special guest with us this afternoon. We're going to be speaking with Kara Noya. She is the first woman that we're going to be speaking with in our 50 Women in 50 States podcast. And she hails from North Dakota, which is actually where I'm from. So we decided that it would be really neat to start out with someone local to me. So, Kara, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to stay warm here in North Dakota, and where you're at now. Frigid, very cold right now.
Yeah.
So, Kara, we did an article here, I think back in October, taking a look at some of the women to watch out for in 2019, and you were one of the women that was in that article. And since I posted that article, a lot of people were wondering, where can we get information about Kara? Where can we find out where she wrestles? Where can we see some matches? Where can we hear more about her career? So just to kind of get started, Kara, when did you start showing an interest in professional wrestling?
I guess I first started watching wrestling back when I was about 16 or 17. I was kind of a late bloomer in that aspect. I just saw Monday Night Raw on after probably Law & Order SVU or something. So I'm going to watch it and see what... Well, my parents had always told me it was fake, so what's the point in watching it? So I was like, let's see how fake it is. And the next thing I know, I'm buying pay-per-views, back when you bought pay-per-views.
Back before the WWE Network.
Yeah, back before the network. God bless the network.
Of course. Did you have any wrestlers that you liked to watch when you started watching? What really caught your eye about it?
The person who caught my eye right away was CM Punk. Just because he was kind of a loudmouth, and it wasn't what I was expecting when I was told that I'm watching professional wrestling.
Right.
Like, he didn't look like what I'd imagined.
When you first started watching, this was 16, 17, women kind of weren't, you know, it wasn't really that women's revolution time yet, where maybe women's matches, they were still kind of doing the divas division.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about how women were being portrayed when you first started watching?
It was interesting because you'd see that they were good, but I felt like they didn't get enough time. I remember it being 2-3 minute matches. It was like Kelly Kelly versus Beth Phoenix. And I know that there's so much potential there, but they can't do much in 3 to 5 minutes every week. You know, out of a 2 hour, which then became a 3 hour show after Raw 1000, like they weren't getting any time.
Right. And Beth Phoenix is obviously a very talented wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And when you would see a lot of her matches only go just a few minutes, it kind of makes you scratch your head.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world are they doing with her?
Yeah, people like her and Natalya, Eve Torres. There was a lot of talented ladies on that roster.
Right. So
When did it hit you that you this is what you wanted to do when you wanted to become a wrestler?
It wasn't right away. Like most people say, like that I'm not one of those. Oh, I knew the moment I watched it, or I've been doing it since I was a kid. I was in between my junior and senior years of college. I'm almost finishing I almost finished a degree. I did end up finishing it, but I had one more year left. And a local company in North Dakota, which no longer exists, was holding a seminar for like $20 with the Whirlwind Gentleman from Las Vegas.
Right, right.
I was like, I'm in between internships at the time. I have $20. Like, what's the point in not trying? Why should I not try?
Right, nothing really to lose.
Mm-hmm. And I got in that ring and was like, oh, I guess this is what I'm doing now for the rest of my life.
Now, the company that you spoke of is actually Fully Loaded Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, I kind of seen you kind of from the beginning. You kind of did a little bit of everything. You did some refereeing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were even doing, like, taking tickets and doing some merch stuff for a while.
Backstage interviewing.
Yeah, and you were. I think you were even on the YouTube channel doing interviews for a while, too.
Yeah.
How did you feel in those roles, doing all that, kind of getting your, feet wet in the business?
It was nice. Everyone there was really helpful in wanting to watch me and help me succeed. I think mostly because it was like, oh, a female's interested in wrestling. Let's really get her in it.
Now, Fully Loaded obviously has done multiple seminars in the past. Is that kind of how you started, continued to do seminars and things like that before you went to Minnesota to train?
Yeah, I probably did three or six seminars. And then I heard about the academy opening. I was like, oh, well, I guess this is the next step. Because originally I was going to go down to, like, Georgia. I was going to just pack
up. Oh, really? Wow. That would be a little bit of a departure from North Dakota for sure.
Yeah. But then I found the academy, and although I couldn't get in the first class or the second class because I was still in school.
Right.
I had to finish my degree or my parents would murder me.
Now, that leads to another question. How did your family feel when you decided, hey, I want to wrestle?
I think they thought maybe it was a phase for a while, but then I kept doing what I was saying I was going to do. I moved to Minnesota. I got a job here. I started training. I think so far only a couple of my family members have actually seen me wrestle, but I know my little sister really supports me, which is the most important thing to me.
Right. Having that family support when mm-hmm. you're doing something like that is always a good thing to have. Now, when you started training at the academy, walk through the process for someone, you know, do you just apply, you get in, do you have, when you start training for being a wrestler, do you, you know, need to have certain athletic qualifications? Kind of walk us through for those who may not know what the process is like.
So what I did first was I contacted, actually before I even went to the academy, I did a couple seminars there too. Like they had Cole Cabana was their first one. Shelton Benjamin was there. So I did those before I, like, officially joined the academy, but then I got to see what it looked like on the inside. I got to talk with the coaches, talk to some of the students and see what they thought of it, which was really awesome.
Now, when you go to a training seminar with someone like a Shelton Benjamin or Cole Cabana, obviously big names in the business.
Yeah.
Nerves at all?
I don't get too nervous, mostly because, especially me not having as much of a knowledge as people my age who've been watching it all their lives, I feel more comfortable because I haven't built these people up to be like gods. They're just
right.
Cool people. And I try to keep that with me wherever I go. Like, yeah, so-and-so may have been the Raw Tag Team Champion 3 times, but he's also just a dude.
True. That's one way to look at it. I mean, everybody's kind of all, you know, if you treat it kind of everybody as an individual, I could see where that wouldn't make one as nervous. After you started doing your training, when was your first match?
My first match was in October of 2017.
So you've been in the business really matches for a little over a year then.
Yeah.
Now, first match, any nerves there at all?
Oh, holy cow, were there nerves.
How do you approach that then with the nerves? Obviously, you know, I'm sure the nerves were just really bad, I would imagine. How do you kind of calm yourself down before that match?
What I mostly did was, number one, I told my opponent, I'm like, hey, I'm really nervous, it's my first match. And luckily I had, like, the best guy to have your first match with. His name is Jason Stripe. He runs out of Nebraska, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the greatest. He calmed me down, he talked me through, and he made me feel very at ease in the ring.
Now, kind of a story about you that some may not know. I believe it was probably in your first half a dozen matches you ended up wrestling for a championship.
Yep.
You wrestled for Heavy on Wrestling against Leva Bates, who is also a huge name kind of on the independent scene. You had to have been nervous for that.
Yeah. The fun thing about that match was that was actually my very first match in Minnesota, too. And in front of the largest crowd I'd ever wrestled in front of. The other thing, I think they mentioned it in the article they wrote, but I was also super sick at the time, like, almost deliriously so.
Yeah, because I think I read that article online. You were originally just going to do some camera work or some pictures, correct?
Yeah, I was just down there being floor cam, just catching the action, and then they pull me aside and say, hey, do you have your gear? I was like, yeah, I got it in the car. Oh, get dressed. You have 10 minutes. You're wrestling Leva Bates.
That was kind of due to weather, wasn't it, where some people weren't able to make it, correct?
Yeah, they were, like, stuck in the cities where Duluth's a couple hours north of the cities. And
you have to love that North Dakota, Minnesota weather always causing an issue like that.
Yep. Thanks, February.
Now, I seen on your Facebook profile page, you worked for over 15 different promotions so far in just that little over a year. Yeah. What promotions and states have you wrestled for?
I have to find my list, but it's been 7 states. It's North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois. What's that other state called? Wisconsin. The very, very Midwest. I haven't ventured outside the Midwest yet.
So what promotions would be ones that would stick out to you in some of those states?
I love going to Impact Wrestling. I've wrestled for them in Nebraska and Iowa. Showtime Championship Wrestling is great. They're Minnesota and Wisconsin. First Wrestling is always a good time. That's Minnesota.
So what would you say then?
Illinois. Kaiju Attack Wrestling in Illinois is super fun.
It's super fun. I seen you do some of the matches that you did there on YouTube and thought they had a good thing going there in their promotion.
Yeah.
Now, just being in the business over here and covering that much ground already, what would you say would be some of your highlights so far?
Oh, you ask good questions.
I did a little homework ahead of time, so.
Wrestling for First Wrestling's always been one of my favorite things. I've gotten to wrestle Shotzi Blackheart and Marty Bell with First Wrestling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Two people who are super big on the independents, Marty being Mae Young Classic and rocking it all over the world.
Now, when you've traveled and as you've started, is there any advice anyone's given you when you've started out that's kind of helped you on your journey?
Yeah, it's mostly, this one they pretty much taught us right away at camp was mouth shut, ears open.
Mm-hmm.
Watch as much as you can, listen to as much as you can, take all the advice. They say you may not use all the advice, but take everything in because everyone's coming from a good place.
Right, and then when you're wrestling, you know, whomever, whenever, in different promotions, I'm sure everyone's come from a different background, different training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything like that. So it's kind of like a melting pot of backgrounds as far as their wrestling background is concerned. Now, you were the first woman in Fully Loaded Wrestling to win a championship, let alone the first woman to have be a part of a female matchup in Fully Loaded. What was it like to win a championship in your home state like that and then wrestle kind of in North Dakota like that?
It feels like a huge accomplishment. It wasn't something that I ever imagined would happen in North Dakota. Like, Heidi Lovelace is the last female to wrestle in North Dakota, I believe. And now she's Ruby Riott in WWE.
Right.
That's like, I absolutely love Ruby Riott.
And I think that's one of the nice things that Fully Loaded had going for them, is they had a lot of, you know, the mixture of the homegrown talent, and every once in a while they would have, like Ken Anderson was on a show, or Sean Devari was on a show, but they'd also have, you know, the up-and-comers like a Heidi Lovelace or like a Ariadne Devari who would go on to wrestle in WWE. So it's kind of like they had that mixture. So one, I know we discussed, you know, not necessarily discussing anything, you know, negative in regards to professional wrestling, but I do have to ask, what are your thoughts on Fully Loaded closing?
I think it was time. There's a couple things that weren't working well for them, and they decided it was just better to, instead of switching to another new, like, money source to keep them going, there's, like, it's time for Fully Loaded to end.
Right. Hopefully in the future, North Dakota will have professional wrestling again.
North Dakota actually still has professional wrestling. There's a new company that just started up called Cloud9 Wrestling.
But do they? I didn't. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they're going to be running, I think, in the same areas as Fully Loaded. I think maybe not Fargo, but I know they're hitting up Minot and I can't remember the other town that they're going to, but they're
kind of that out west direction in February.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check them out. I wasn't aware that there was another promotion starting at all, so that's good. That's good for North Dakota.
The same talent that Fully Loaded had, just because it's the same area. So you'll see a lot of the guys from Canada, Bobby Brennan, Jack Ledger, the North Dakota guys.
Probably like Darren Corbin and guys like that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So a typical day for you, what's it like? How do you fit in, you know, your personal life, your training, exercise, diet? How do you juggle it all?
It takes a lot of planning, a lot of me having to sit down and say, okay, I'm not doing anything right now. What should I be doing? Like, I got some vegetables sitting in the fridge right now that I need to start putting in the oven at some point today. Or, let's see, I only work a half day at work today. Should I go to the gym, or do I save that energy for training later in the night?
So do you find time to even sleep at all?
Sometimes. Sleep is so important to me. Like, I wish I could say just how important it is to sleep. Like, I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I did not sleep.
Now, do you still do training at the academy at all now? Do you do any seminars or classes, or is it just you're just out wrestling now? You don't find a lot of time for it.
I do try to pop in from time to time. It's been less frequent now, mostly because of the roads. And, like,
right.
I just keep getting hit with these stupid injuries. That's like, they're not enough to take me out of action, but I don't want to aggravate them by doing a lot of repetitive action.
So how do you deal with injuries then?
I take at least a couple days after I get an injury to sit out and just see how it's going to do. If it seems like it's really bad, I'll go to a doctor. But I try to not bug them with every little thing that happens to me, because every time I go in, they're like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, yeah. This is all I want to do.
Now, your character, a lot of wrestlers, a lot of people say that their character is an extension of who they are. Would you say when you wrestle, it's an extension of who you are, or do you find that you have to kind of dive into that character to be in that moment?
It's a little different than myself, but it's also like, it is like that, the stupid slogan of, it's me, but turned up to 11. It's like, paranoia is me if I didn't have to answer to the consequences of being paranoia. Like, if I tried to be paranoia at work, it probably wouldn't go well.
That probably wouldn't work out too well, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, we had talked about, you know, some negativity, and this isn't more of a negativity question. It's more about dealing with it. Mm-hmm. With social media, with Facebook, with Instagram, with Twitter, there's a lot of opportunity for people that, and for women that are getting into professional wrestling, or even for some of the top stars like your Alexa Bliss or your Nia Jax, there can be a lot of negativity, a lot of negative posts that people will post, mm-hmm. you know, on their page. How do you turn negatives into positives as far as that's concerned? And do you have any advice for anyone that's starting to wrestle that may see some of that negativity?
I know some people will use the negative comments to, like, fuel them, be like, oh, you think I'm so bad at this, so watch me become successful. Some people ignore them completely. I love that in this day and age you're allowed to block people on social media. Like,
right.
If someone's really giving you a hard time, you can just take them out of your life. I try to just ignore the negatives unless there's something constructive in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't answer them, that's what they hate the most, is not being recognized.
Right. And that's the thing with social media. While it's done so much good for the business, there's always that, you know, that opportunity for negativity to kind of rear its ugly head. So it's good that you're able to deal with that in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give if you went back to yourself in 2017 when you're just starting to wrestle? What advice would you give yourself now, knowing what you know? Or what advice would you give someone that's just starting to want to break into the business?
For breaking into the business, I definitely say find yourself a good school. That's going to be the difference maker in everything. Because if you're good, a mediocre school will keep you at good. But if you're good and you go to a really good school, they'll make you great.
Would you say that having some type of athletic background, like track, volleyball, basketball, anything like that, do you think that's beneficial or anything like that? Do you think having that that cardio, that aerobics, things like that is beneficial to starting out in the business?
I think it is helpful in starting out. It's also helpful because usually athletes have their workouts already. They're already used to working out all the time. They're already used to eating certain things. So it helps during the time that you're not between the ropes as well. Like, anybody can hop in the ring and do bumps, but it's what you do outside of that time. Like, football players study tapes from other football games that they've either performed
right.
in. Or, and people who aren't active in those aren't as used to studying their craft.
Now, that leads to another question. When you talk about studying your craft, do you find time to watch wrestling today? If so, do you watch any one particular promotion? Do you try to follow someone in particular? Do you try to watch matches against, someone that you know that you're going to be facing?
Yeah, I've been watching tape a lot more recently. I like to put it on when I'm on the treadmill, because if you're on the treadmill for 30 minutes, I can fit like 3 10-minute matches in there or 2 15-minute matches. And I just look up people who are doing well, or I look up who I'm facing. Like, I've been watching a lot of Jazz footage recently.
Right, because you're facing her here in February, correct?
Yeah.
And then Jazz, obviously, she's, you know, been around the wrestling business
yeah.
for quite some time in ECW and in WWE.
So far.
Are you nervous?
I am nervous, but I also feel prepared.
I think that's going to be, that's a great match, and that's February 2nd in Duluth, correct, for Heavy on Wrestling?
February 17th.
February 17th, okay. Are tickets still available for that at all, for anyone that
yes.
is interested in, that's in the area?
Tickets are still available for Heavy On in February.
Now, you've been wrestling, this will be your third or fourth appearance for them, correct?
This will be my second appearance for
Heavy On. Second appearance, okay. You like working with them at all?
I do. The one time that I worked with them, they were really, really good to me.
And it seems like...
really good. I didn't get paid, but...
It seems like, too, that they bring in kind of, you know, they have that whole talent from Minnesota, but they bring in other wrestlers from other promotions.
Mm-hmm.
I know they had that big show this past summer where they had Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and Eric Bischoff.
Oh, yeah, Fortune Bania.
Yeah, they kind of bring in quite a few people, so it's kind of nice to have that mix. I think Minnesota still, you know, always, at least when I was younger, was a hotbed for professional wrestling. And it still
yeah.
seems like there's quite a bit of wrestling going on there, independence
yeah.
and things like that. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I feel like the Academy has really helped bring about like a resurgence of Minnesota wrestling because it's introducing a lot of new people into the talent pool here.
Right. Now, do you have, when we're talking about Jazz essentially being the biggest match that you had so far in your career, do you have a dream match at all? Anyone that you'd want to face currently wrestling today?
I can't say there's anyone in particular because I feel like I keep discovering new women all the time. So it's like, oh, you know, this week it might be like Kylie Rae and the next week it could be somebody from Japan who I haven't heard of yet.
Right.
So I try to just be like, I want to have good matches with good people.
Fair enough. Now, on the independent scene, and you've done this in your career as well, you've wrestled against both men and women.
Yes.
You know, sometimes out on indie shows, it's out of necessity due to roster size. But sometimes it's, you know, a key matchup that's booked ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? Do you think that there's a stigma with women wrestling men? I know at Royal Rumble, we see Nia Jax, you know, come out as a 30th entrant. Do you think there's a stigma following women wrestling men, or do you think it's something that can become mainstream at some point?
I think it really depends on the crowd you introduce it to. Like, back when I was wrestling in Botno, North Dakota, they were adamant that they did not want me to wrestle a man. They were not having it. But then we tricked them, and we were in an intergender tag, and they loved it.
That's one way to get around it.
Yep. But it really depends on the crowd. Like, more conservative crowds, people, especially more rural areas, are less likely to enjoy an intergender match, I found out. But, like, pretty much everywhere I've wrestled, they all love wrestling, whether it's guy, guy, girl, girl, intergender, space alien, space monkey.
Whatever anyone dresses up as sometimes. I've seen some interesting things on YouTube, so.
Yeah, at first, at WrestlePalooza, this last one, it was like Wildcat, Thunder Frog, Yellow Dog, and Space Monkey. Like, we had a whole zoo.
That's the nice thing about independent wrestling, too, though. It seems like it covers the crowd. You have your people that are your hardcore wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
You have your families that are just, you know, mom and dad bringing out the kids and everything like that. It seems like it just covers everyone's likes, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think, I know Triple H had made a comment recently that he said intergender wrestling is kind of more shock value than anything. Do you agree with that statement at all?
I don't think it's more shock value. I think it's the word he should have used was different. Like, it's something that WWE hasn't provided in a while.
Right.
But they started slowly introducing it back with, like you said, with Nia Jax. Then they had the whole mix match challenge.
Say that 10 times really fast.
No.
Yeah,
they know have instances where the women would hit something on the men and the crowd would love it.
Right.
It's just finding the balance of, is it going to be okay for the men to hit the women?
Right. And I agree. I wasn't necessarily shocked that Nia was in the Royal Rumble, but I was surprised that she took an RKO and then a super kick from Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. But I feel like Nia's treated differently than most of the women on the roster just because of her size.
Right, right.
Like, she is 6 foot. She is classified in their roster as a heavyweight. It's because she is much larger than all the other women, and she, you know, she's not like most girls. Dun, dun, dun.
Nice, nice pun there. I think, too, that gives them an opportunity to slowly introduce it to see what kind of reaction it gets. I don't know if that's something that they'd probably go to full-time, but I think, like you said, with the mixed match challenge and things like that, they're kind of slowly introducing concepts that they haven't had either at all or they haven't had in a long time, so it's kind of interesting to see how they're evolving with that in general.
Yeah,
now,
I really did a little bit of intergender wrestling back in the Attitude Era.
Right.
But again, China was kind of the exception because she was such a body. Like, China did not look like their typical female wrestlers back then. She could compete against the men, and people believed it.
Now, do you think then, as we discussed that, do you think that having the body like a Chyna or like a Nia Jax, do you think that that's someone like that has an opportunity for more of a push? Or when you have someone like the Bella Twins or Alexa Bliss, I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes they push them kind of as sex symbols at times, especially mm-hmm. the Bellas way back when.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe they get an opportunity that someone else deserves but aren't getting?
I wouldn't say it's not deserved. It's an opportunity for the company to try something and see if it works. Like, if they can get people to cheer for Chyna, well, they're going to get people to cheer for, like, Nia Jax against a man just because that's the way our brains are tuned in right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an opportunity to say, to also see if we can make someone hate a female against a male, because that's a really tough dynamic that I've had to try to work with before, is trying to be, like, when you're facing a guy, they automatically want to cheer for me because I'm a girl.
Right. Now, one of the things that at least WWE hasn't explored, but some other companies have, I know Impact has before, what's your thoughts on women and hardcore wrestling matches?
I think if they want to do it, more power to them. It's not my style, so I don't plan on doing a hardcore anytime soon. But if that's what the crowd likes and what the ladies are willing to do, go for it.
Now, is there any women that are out there that you've wrestled against or that you've watched that fans may not be aware of but should be watching out for?
I guess a lot of my local girls, like, oh gosh, if they could see Brooke Valentine. Brooke Valentine's one of my favorite opponents. We work together in several different states, several different promotions, and it's, I don't want to say it's like a wrestling soulmate, but every time we go out there, it's good.
Now, when you wrestle someone like a Brooke Valentine, or I know you've wrestled Sierra quite a bit, and I'm actually going to have her on the show here shortly as well, keep in touch outside, you know, outside of wrestling, do you form them friendships? Do you kind of go back and, you know, kind of critique your matches?
I would say we usually don't sit down and watch our matches together, but sometimes you'll get a message out of the blue and it'll say, oh, hey, I was watching our match from back in December and I noticed this thing and we should talk about that. And I've got a big group chat going with a couple of the females in the area and we run over, like, oh, this promotion isn't any good, or watch out for this guy at shows. Kind of protecting each other.
So kind of like your own group, kind of watching each other's back. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kara, before we finish up here, kind of as a last question, what do you have going on? Where can people follow you at? You know, your social media pages, what events will you be appearing at, and everything like that? Kind of a few minutes here to kind of promote yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you can find all of my information on my future bookings on my Facebook page. It's just Kara Noia, K-A-R-A space N-O-I-A. Twitter, you can follow me at @Kara_Noia. Twitter is the same, @Kara_Noia. Some upcoming events. This Saturday, I'll be returning to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin in six-man tag action. It'll be myself, Saishin, Tootie Lynn Ramsey, and Kyle Pro versus the Pretty Patties, who is Riley Jackson, Sierra, and Vanessa Zure. I'm always going to say one of them wrong. February 17th in Duluth, Minnesota, I'll be facing Jazz for the Heavy on Wrestling Women's Championship. Very excited about that one. And I've just been allowed to announce that I believe it's March 21st, which is a Thursday, I'll be in Minnesota for First Wrestling, their VFW show. And it's not an all-women show, but it's a high concentration of women show focusing on women, people who will be there, like Mercedes Martinez, Jessica Havoc, Jordan Grace, Shotzi, Solo Darling.
Oh, wow, that'll be a stacked card then. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm so excited to be a part of it. That one, tickets are not on sale. They are sold out, so sorry if you miss it.
Will they be having a stream of that, or
I don't know
will
if
they be online at all?
They do sell it on DVD after the fact.
Perfect. All right, Kara, I just want to thank you for joining us here on the podcast. And once again, everyone, just keep an eye out for Kara. We'll try to follow her here as her career progresses throughout the year. So thanks again, Kara.
Yeah, thanks for having me.